And we are back. We are those weekend golf guys. I'm John Ashton. He is Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher, Jeff Smith. And Jeff, do the official introduction for Kelly, because I can't remember all of the accolades with which she precedes her name.
Look, I can't even begin to talk about it, but Kelly is the queen of golf media. Everywhere you look, she's been out there. She's a Golf Magazine Top 100 teacher. She's been with them for quite some time. Golf for Women magazine, she's always on the cover, and I've seen Kelly every place. She's a PGA Master professional. I see her every place there are golf instruction that's going on, that's an education event. Kelly's also not only there, but she's leading. She's up front. I've been at the Top 100 Teacher Conference a handful of times. Kelly is out there teaching other Top 100 teachers. This lady is absolutely amazing. So I can't begin to extol her virtues enough. But anyway, she's on our show. She's having fun. And with any luck, she'll come back. And all we got to do is just like talk some fun stuff, and then she'll come back, I hope. So here we are talking about golf trips, right? I mean, Kelly just came off a wonderful trip to Scotland. Kelly, did you spend a lot of time in downtown Edinburgh? Did you go to the castle? Did you do all this fun stuff around that area, that old town part?
We did. We stayed in Old Town. We walked up to the castle, but I'm not great at planning that stuff ahead. For some reason, I'm really good at planning the golf, but not like the tourist stuff. Mm-hmm. So we got to see it, but unfortunately, we didn't get to tour it. So I loved St. Andrews, the town, like St. Andrews University was beautiful. And, you know, the castle and the graveyard was pretty amazing. But kind of like short, quick, touristy things. It was really kind of mostly about golf for us. And I love to drive. So, and that was a challenge in itself, with left-hand driving on these little teeny tiny roads. But, you know, it's more about kind of seeing the countryside. And I don't love to do big, long tours of things. I get a little bored. So. Yeah, it was amazing. I loved Edinburgh. It was beautiful.
Did you ever forget about the left-hand driving and find yourself on the right-hand side of the road by mistake and have to quickly correct?
I get in the car and I always say out loud, hug left. Like, okay. I remind myself. Yeah. And then I have my son in the passenger seat navigating a little bit. Mm-hmm. He's like, oh, you're close. You're close over here. You're close.
Oh, I'm
like,
yeah.
I know. I'm like, but if I run off the road, that's better than running into the person in the middle of the road. So if you're going to run, I'm like, I know I'm doing my best here. It gets a little dicey. We get a little stressed out.
I remember our first trip. I've got the minivan. I'm going to make this a short story. Very short. I have not one, not two, not three, but four backseat drivers, because I've got the family. And here I am driving, and I got a minivan and it's a little smaller than others, but nonetheless, Kelly, you know the size of the roads over there, John. They're not much bigger than the vehicle you're driving.
Mm-hmm.
You're threading the needle every place you go. So not only am I driving on the left-hand side of the road, but I'm shifting gears with my left hand. Thank God the clutch and the brake are the same as they are over here, but I'm shifting gears with my left hand, and all I can hear is from both sides of the car, Dad, you're too close.
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh boy.
That was right. When Kelly was talking about that nine-hole course she played at and driving there, I just can't get the picture now from the last James Bond movie I saw, where he was driving out through the barren lands of Scotland somewhere in his Aston Martin DB5.
Oh, yeah. Skyfall.
That it looked bleak and dangerous.
It's amazing. And it's narrow. Like, you gotta anticipate the curves, and like somebody might be coming, you know, 60 miles an hour, like the other way. And you can't see. We made it. But like I said, it was a little dicey at times.
Mm. Some of those golf courses are just wild. Things you don't know that you're going to experience. We went to a place called Cruden Bay one time, and it is just crazy good.
We played there. It was amazing, but it was so foggy you couldn't see. We couldn't see the ocean.
Oh, what a shame.
I know.
Yeah, we played it on a very clear day, but it was just uber windy. And what a wonderful experience that one was. And you go and you play these holes and you're like, where do I go? And at Cruden Bay, they've even got some that crisscross on one part of the golf course. You're going one way and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, weren't we here before? And it's just crazy.
And I like Brora with the animals on the golf course. They had sheep and cows. It was so fun. That was one of my favorites. That was And I knew that going in, so I was pretty excited about it.
Yeah, it's pretty neat little deal. We spent some time in the little towns, in the coastal towns. You know, we played Castle Stewart and we played Dornoch a few times. We went up to play Brora. But we went and played this other one called Old Moray in the town of Moray. And it's up top where Edinburgh, or not by Edinburgh, but it's up by Inverness. And it's a little bit east of that. And we stayed in this old hotel, and it was old and creaky, and it was right next to the golf course and had this restaurant. So we were in there and we just heard all the locals. And, you know, it was interesting because they of course knew we were American, you know, just by what we were wearing. We didn't look like anybody else there, you know? And so we had some things to eat that we couldn't identify, but tasted all right. You know, the things you learn, the experiences you have when you go travel. So like you said, John, you don't have to go to Scotland, but you know, you go places and go do all the local things. It's part of the fun.
Yeah.
You know, go to the local eateries wherever you are and just kind of take in the flavor of where you are as a whole. And it's really pretty fun.
Are the bulk of golf courses over there private courses that you have to know somebody to get on or be recommended to get on, or do they have public golf courses like we do here that you just, you know, pays your money, takes your chances on a tee time?
I played a lot of public golf courses.
Okay.
Kelly, what'd you do when you were there?
Yeah, it was a combination. There's plenty of places to play. I mean, I know there was one course that I missed that I really wanted to play called Musselburgh.
But
that same whole area, like near Inverness, that whole circle, there's like, I saw the map, there's like 30 or 40 different golf courses there that you can kind of play. And they seem to be pretty good about, if you just go on the club website and you email them, or a lot of them, you can just make a tee time directly on the club website. So there's, you know, we played some well-known courses that we had to work a little bit to get on, but others, you know, really, I just emailed the club and I paid my pounds and went and played, and they were fantastic. There's so much good golf there. It's because I think, like, doesn't every little town have a golf course pretty much?
I think so. We played this one place called Crail. It's south of St. Andrews. It's right down there on this corner of the island, or the peninsula, and it's south of King's Barnes by 3 or 4 minutes. And I was absolutely amazed. Almost every hole was right on the water or the one right next to it. And it was unbelievable. And it's a little town and they're beautiful old little places. And so if you ever get a chance to get out there and go to some of these things, just stay in the town and visit and learn a little bit about those places. And it's like going back in time, and it is certainly a vast change in culture. Yeah. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
People and they almost speak English there in Scotland.
Until they don't want to.
It's kind of close.
and then when they start running things together and their voice gets a little lower and it gurgles a little bit, you know it's something unpleasant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Indeed. That is, I used to work for a foreign company, and I thought it was so impolite when they executives didn't want you to know what they were talking about. They would speak their home language. And one, as an aside, a little story, there was a Japanese company, and one of the Japanese executives told a joke, and one of the sales managers, the American sales managers, laughed. The next day he was fired because he spoke Japanese or understood Japanese. So, that was not allowed in the company's structure. But they were huge golfers. We were at a meeting. We were going to play golf at a sales meeting. It was at the former Playboy Club in Great Gorge, New Jersey. And the president of the company, who was Japanese, asked our regional manager, who was Japanese, he said, "Mr. Hayashi, do you play golf?" And Mr. Hayashi said, "No, sir, I do not." And the president then said, you should learn. The next day, Mr. Hayashi went out and bought clubs and took lessons because as far as Japanese culture is concerned, he was just given an order to learn how to play golf.
Yes, I've heard that.
Yeah.
In Columbus, Indiana, where I'm from, there is Cummins Engine Company, and they are it's the world headquarters.
Yeah.
And they have a major Toyota plant there too. So there's an awful lot of Japanese and Chinese folks over there. And, you know, their culture is exactly that. I was given an awful lot of golf lessons to people who it had been told to them.
They don't even say you need to, they say you should.
You should do that.
And it gets done. More stuff about golf with our guests, Kelly Stenzel and our Jeff Smith and me. We are those Weekend Golf Guys, and we'll be right back.